Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. We'll speak in this atmosphere, and we say, let there be light. Amen. I felt that amen. I think you really meant that amen. I want to talk this month about specifically the power of words, specifically as it relates to the scripture that we're all familiar with in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let me show it to you in the New International Version, which is fairly close to the King James. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What is the it that it's talking about there? It's like whatever it is. If you love life, you talk about life, you produce life. If you are attracted to death and darkness, that's what you'll talk about, and you'll continue to that cycle. You know, you see it and you say it. You say it and you see it. It's like that's basically everything in our life is going through see and say and say and see. And that's why we find ourselves, because God has given us creative ability, it's why we find ourselves in ruts a lot of time, because we're continuing the process. Like we see it and we keep creating more of the same thing. I don't want to say a lot about this because I would have to give you a spoiler alert. We did go see the movie The Shack this weekend, and I got a lot of people waiting for my review. I've still got to do a review on Moonlight because I had written a really good review of it, and I don't know how I did this. Somehow I was trying to fix the font for the post, and I don't know how I deleted it, but I did. And I don't know if you've ever written something that's kind of lengthy and you're really proud of it, and then you lose it, and it's just like, I don't want to write it again now. I'm like, the movie's good. Go see the movie. I'm glad it won Best Picture. Shut up. I mean, that's kind of the way. But I will get back to it. It is a good movie. It's not, Moonlight's not what you would expect. It's actually, I mean, it was a bizarro ending to the Oscars. I don't know how many of you watched it. I was like, huh, this feels really familiar. Oh, it feels like the Super Bowl. Yeah, that's right. Where I'm watching something for hours and hours and hours, and then right at the last minute, it completely changes. And you're like, what the what? So that was kind of that's kind of cray-cray. But anyway, I did go see the Shaq. It's interesting, when the book came out, about the time that I started doing the Schools of the Bible. And I never read the book, but so many people told me everything about it. I feel like I've read it. I mean, I kind of knew the entire plot because everybody I talked to during that time would say, have you read The Shack? And I say, no. And they'll stand there and tell me the entire book. And even recently, somebody sent it to me again. I'm like, I know, I have several copies. People keep... I'm not saying I'm illiterate, but stop buying me books because then you check up on me later. Did you read that book I gave you? I'm like, I write books. I don't necessarily read books. I read some of books. I like to kind of like skim through them and get the general idea. But I would just be lying if I said that I am a voracious reader, because I am not. And I know readers can't understand that. They're like, but I bought you 7 books. I'm like, I know. The more books you buy me, the less likely I'm going to read them. But thank you. When my office was big, people used to walk in and they'd say, have you read all of these books? And I'd say, no. These are all things that people want me to read. Anyway, it was interesting The Shack came out about that time, because I would hear so many people tell me that it... sounded like stuff that I was teaching, to the point that people would ask, that's why they would ask me, have you read this, because it sounds like, and I would say, no, I haven't read it, I've been told about it, but even those of you that have read it, you know, the fact that wisdom is female, and you know, I've talked all about that. If you don't mind me say a little something about it, I hope it's not going to ruin it for you, because is it okay if I talk about it a little bit? My biggest issue with the was that there was a technical issue because we saw it in Eatonton and they had the volume down lower than I like, and the guy that plays McKenzie in it, he kind of has a mumbly, whispery voice anyway. So the whole time I'm like, what? What did he say? I'm asking people, like, what? Are y'all getting this? Like, what? I'm missing lines. I'm looking for, where's closed caption? I'm looking for my, because on my TV, I'm like, turn on closed caption, and it turns on. And that wasn't working. And, you know, from a cinematic viewpoint, it has some limitations just because of the material. There's only so much you can do with it. That being said, I do think it's very profound. It's theologically limited in that it's coming entirely through the Christian paradigm of a Trinity, of a Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So there's a little bit of a limitation with that. However, I love allegories, and I'll probably write all this again when I finally get around to doing the review. I do love allegories, and I love allegories that deal with people trying to make peace with God, trying to make sense of God, and trying to make sense of unspeakable suffering. Because what happens to the guy in the book is really every parent's worst nightmare. And there were some really excellent points that were made. I mean, I like that that God is racially diverse and not gender specific. Those people that have finally accepted Morgan Freeman as God now get to accept Octavia Spencer as God. And it's funny because a lot of fundamentalists don't like it. It's funny. It's so funny you can tell who's racist and who's sexist, because there's some people that were okay that God was black with Morgan Freeman, but they just don't like that God's a black woman. So that's a whole other frontier. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and I liked the part where when he has to go back and find the little girl's body, God takes on a male form, and he's Native American. He's that guy that's that was in Dances with Wolves. I thought that was interesting. I like the idea of God not being gender specific, because I have taught along those lines. I did like that the Jesus character actually was a Middle Eastern guy with an accent and not a blue-eyed surfer dude with a British accent. That was new, because usually everything about Jesus, I mean, people just going to be sure Jesus was a British white guy. So at least he was a Middle Eastern brown guy that probably looked at least more like what Jesus actually looked like. So I'm not critical of it at all. The reason I'm bringing it up is it's really interesting, even the way they talked about hell and deciding who should go to hell. And if you remember, I've written about this in a couple of my books. I use it for an example. Remember in Covington years ago that horrible thing that happened where the guy intentionally ran over those kids at a McDonald's, and one of them was a pastor. I know him. I've known him for years. And the guy was laughing when he did it. It was horrible. It was horrible what happened. And I remember reading an excerpt from the trial, and the mother of one of the little girls that died said to him, I know the Bible says there's a hottest place in hell for people like you, and I'm going to laugh when I see God throw you into it. I said, I'm using this for an example because I know theologically the Bible doesn't say that, and yet I understand why she was saying that. I mean, as a parent, I would hope that there was a hell hot enough for that guy. Do you understand? So even though I can't defend it theologically, I understand it emotionally. And I think that's a lot of why we have created hell over the years, is trying to decide, you know, somewhere the punishment's got to fit the crime. And what I liked about this story is when she was talking about the man that had abducted the little girl, I thought this was an interesting point. I think it was Wisdom said to him, you just see what he did. You don't see what was done to him that turned him into this kind of monster. And I thought, well, that's an interesting concept. What's that got to do with power of words? Well, some of us came from a background where we were taught we have a good God and a bad devil. And like all the good stuff comes from God and all the bad stuff comes from the devil. Just even recently, after all these years of saying it, somebody wrote me like a couple of weeks ago and said, "Oh, I love your teaching. I listen to you every Sunday, and it really helps me a lot because I know the thief doesn't come but for to steal, kill, and destroy." And you really, and I thought, you couldn't have been listening to me that many Sundays because I'm all over that John 10:10. Because I think people have created a powerful devil that should not ever exist. As I told you the other day, I've opted out of spiritual warfare. I just opted out of that system, and I don't have it anymore. If you want to argue with me that demons exist, whatever, that's fine. I'm just not in that system anymore. And it's amazing how when you opt out of it, how your life really changes. Now, what he says here is death and life together are in the power of the tongue. And it reminds me of a lot of scriptures like Deuteronomy, where he says, "I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life that you may live." He didn't say, "I set before you life and Satan sets before you death." He didn't say, I give you the good stuff, he gives you the bad stuff. It's God through the tree of life as opposed to God through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? So, if you really delve into this, this is a very sobering, it's a great scripture, but it's sobering as well. Because it basically says, you are creating your life by the words of your mouth. Now, let me say this. This has been a very intense week for me on many levels. And part of the reason I'm teaching this month is just because it's so absurd to talk about it right now. I don't know if absurd is the word, but it's counterintuitive to what my emotions want to say. I've been around a lot of sickness this week. And walking into hospitals, I'm looking around at just hundreds of cars everywhere. You can't, like traffic jams of people trying to get in hospitals. And there's this nearly flood of being overwhelmed. Like, wow, there's so much sickness. Like, is the majority of the world sick? And it's interesting. There's a lot going on. Even the fact that I'm saying be compassionate this week. Because I want to be compassionate. I want to walk with people through the valley of the shadow of death. I also want to hold myself to a high standard to say, I will continue to speak life, I will continue to speak health, and not be insensitive to people that are having a different manifestation right now. Does that make sense? And there's a temptation to go one of two ways. Sickness is a very real thing, and it's interesting how people have dealt with it theologically over the years. I was raised in the Pentecostal church where we believed Jesus was the healer, but we didn't believe it was always his will to heal. So it was kind of like when you prayed for healing, it was kind of like putting in a request and keeping your fingers crossed and hoping that you got the answer back. And then when the faith movement sort of came along, their ideology was it's always God's will to heal. And if you don't tap into it, the mistake is with you. And there probably is truth in that, but it's also kind of overwhelming when you're sick and you're like, I don't need somebody piling on condemnation, telling me that this is my fault. I mean, that's not really compassionate. That's why even Friday night I went out to Eaton to see Ken. He's on call this week. And we had dinner, and then we were going to go see the Shack later. We had some time, so we went back to the room where we were staying. And that's why I just felt this really strong Friday night for some reason. I wanted to talk about John 20:21, where it says Jesus breathed on his disciples. I've taught on it for years. And he says, whoever sins you forgive or forgiven, whoever sins you remit or remitted. And I said, I think there's a lot of people who have sickness in their body and financial difficulty and all kind of things because it's not condemnation coming from God in any way. It's their own, they're their own accuser of the brethren. They're beating themselves up over what they did or didn't do or whatever. And I said, I need to say, I forgive you. Jesus has breathed on me. I have received the Holy Spirit. I say your sins are forgiven. Stop beating yourself up and forgive yourself now. And immediately there's a flood of, oh my God, I need to hear this right now. And I knew that would be the case. I knew that's the reaction it would get because I know what people are dealing with. Look, we've collected a lot of stuff on our journeys. and not everything in our lives turned out like we wanted it to. And it's very easy in those moments of reflection to say, what could I have done differently? Or how much do I play a role in this? And so that's why you've got the, you know, I jokingly call them the devil lovers, but I understand why they love being able to blame the devil on everything on the devil. Because it's a great, it's a great relief to have him as the whipping boy. You know, like I can run up my credit cards and live above my means. And then when I'm in financial trouble, I can say Satan stole my finances. And it's like, I mean, I get it. I miss him sometimes. You know what I mean? It's like, it was great to have somebody to blame everything on, you know? Cause when you come, I mean, you know what y'all are? Y'all are grown folks. Cause I put all the responsibility on you. And the fact that you, you know, I'm in a theater in Midtown and you found me anyway. You said, yeah, thank you, sir. May I have another? I mean, y'all are grown up. You have put away childish things. And the good news is once you learn that you're creating your own life, once you get your equilibrium about that, then it actually is very liberating. It's like, well, all right, then I'm going to take responsibility for my life. And it would never occur to me to say, God, why'd you let this happen? I don't even think I have a neuropath in my brain for that. That never crosses my mind. Somehow I got a hold of it early on that, well, this is my life and it's the product of the choices I've made and I'm okay with that. I always felt like, even if you didn't understand something, don't tick God off. You know what I mean? It's like, even if you don't understand what happened, you got to keep him in your corner. Last thing you want is be stuff going on, and then you're mad at God too. I don't need that. I don't know. I've got a GPS that came with my car. I call her Ginger. And if I ever yell at her, like if she tells me to turn, I'm like, no, this is wrong. This is not the way you go. She clams up on me. It's weird. It's like she has emotions. And like she won't speak to me. I'm like, come on, Ginger. Come on, baby. I'm sorry. I'm stressed. I'm running late. Just tell me, do I turn here? You know, I'm sorry. It does not cover this area. I'm like, I mean, how do I make up with a computer? Like, come on, baby. I'm like, I'm rubbing the dashboard. Like, I mean, do you buy roses for, I don't know. And I'm not saying God's a computer, but I'm saying the last thing I need is, I need to keep God on my side, is what I'm saying. So even if you say, God, I don't understand what's happening, but I'm going to praise you anyway. I think we can all probably agree with that. Even if you don't understand something, I mean, I'm still going to give you praise. You're good. And all of this, the one constant is the goodness of God. So, what I want to talk about this week is not to put anybody on any kind of guilt trip at all, because it's not even in my nature to make people feel good. I don't respond to guilt. Somebody recently was jokingly trying to guilt me into something, and I said, I don't respond to that. Like, you're going to have to come at me a different way, because trying to make me feel guilty about something, I'm so past that now, it doesn't work. You've got to coerce me or something. Don't guilt me. If you guilt me, I clam up on you, because I already had enough guilt in my life. But I want to look at this week, because there's some things I just feel like we need to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And it doesn't mean you're going to have all the answers to everything. It just means for your life, you're going to keep speaking certain things over yourself. I had an interesting, I don't think she'll mind me quoting her on this. I had an interesting conversation with Doc Sheila this week. And she said, we were talking about life and death issues. And she said, you know, I remember years ago when I first heard you talk about Genesis 6, how that God had given us all 120 years. She says, I just got a hold of that. I just believed it. And I said, you know, it's funny how few people know that's in the Bible. If the Bible's going to be your rule of practice, how do you not know that that's in there? What do you hear most people talk about? 70 Psalm 90, which was a psalm of Moses that he wrote for people while they were in the wilderness. Genesis 6 is such a weird, not weird, it's weird how it's been so misquoted. Back in the revival day, my dad didn't really use this as much, but when we would have evangelists come through for revivals, this was everybody's pet scripture. Please come to the altar and get saved tonight, because the Bible says my spirit will not always strive with man. And the implication was, if you don't respond to the Holy Spirit's wooing, he's going to give up on you. And it was a real manipulative interpretation of the scripture. And you go back and read it, and that's not at all what God was saying. It's after the flood, and he says, my breath will not always be in them on the earth. They will not live indefinitely, but I will give them at least 120 years. He wasn't talking about conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing how that's such a simple thing that people have taken out of context, and life and death has been in the power of their tongue, because they've, like, if you want to find the mean God, the judgmental God, you can find him, you can create him, and you can even create your own punishment for things. I know people that just would not rest until something bad happened to them, so that they could nearly feel purged, like, no, I deserved this. Look, as much as I believe in personal responsibility, I'm all about that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life clause. Let's keep that one. Like, yes, I am responsible for my life, but I love the idea of goodness and mercy following me doing damage control. Because you know good, I don't know if you know this, but I know I have not reaped everything that I've sown, and I'm glad. I do believe in karma. I do believe what goes around comes around. But there's been a whole lot of mercy in there where God just has said to me, you're good. Just go on. Let's don't even talk about it too much before I change my mind. You know what I mean? Oh, y'all have all been perfect, I guess. Well, I haven't. Anyway, let me just show you some of these scriptures to kind of lay a foundation, and then we may go ahead and end. This is how it says it in the Message. It says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Well, there you have it. It doesn't get any more plain than that. And then here it is in the Voice, which is another translation I like. It says, words have power in matters of life and death, and those who love them will savor their fruit. Love what? Either death or life. Then I want to show you, this is Proverbs 12:18. This is in the New King James Version. I've always loved this scripture. There's actually several that are similar to this, but I like this one a lot. It says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. I love that. We all have real things to deal with in our bodies. I don't believe in denial. I think that's nonsense when you can't tell somebody what's actually going on. But there's a way that you talk about it to where it just permeates your consciousness. Like, I believe in communication, not just, and this isn't just in health matters, this is in everything. If you've ever been slighted, if you've ever been hurt, if you've ever been stabbed in the back, not literally, but, you know, you've been violated by somebody in some way, there's a part of you that, if you haven't gotten closure on it, you keep talking about it. And what happens is you keep perpetuating the, you don't let the sore heal. And so the sore actually becomes attractive. It's like the emotional infection actually attracts more things to you. Have you ever met somebody and you can't put your finger on it? Like, what is the deal? Like, I have nothing against this person, but I find myself pushing them away. I find myself being negative with them. What is it? A lot of times you're caught up in a vortex of what they've already been going through their whole life. I mean, I've met people that nearly have a persecution complex and will pick at you until you persecute them. And there's a better way to do that. Sometimes I think, wow, this isn't about me. This is about something you're still trying to work out. And you know how I can recognize it? Because I've had to work out mine before. Have you ever been in the middle of talking about something, you tell some thing that's happened to you before, and you suddenly have this thought, really? Are you really gonna go here again? Because what you're gonna do is you're gonna tell this person who has no control over the situation, all they're gonna do is feel really crummy about what happened to you. Now you're just gonna feel crummy about it again, and it's not gonna change anything. This is why, and I kind of was picking this up from the several things from the shack. That's why the idea about forgiveness is so empowering. And forgiveness doesn't mean, and they make this point in the movie, I guess in the book too, forgiveness doesn't mean you excuse what the person did. And that really is true. Because sometimes your weird unresolved issue gets caught up with their weird unresolved issue. And before you know it, you ever just had this like really bizarre conversation with somebody? Like, what is that? This is about your rejection. This isn't about anything that's going on here. This is about your unresolved issues. And we all have them. Sometimes you need somebody in your life to expose to you, like, oh, why am I responding to this person this way? Y'all know what I'm talking about? No? I'm just making it up. All right. Let me show you. This person said this. Like caterpillars, our metamorphosis begins with what comes from our mouth. Caterpillars spin silk cocoons from the mouth. We speak life or death, success or failure. All transformation starts with what comes from our mouth. This happens to me. I saw myself go through this a lot when I was a few years ago when my public persona had changed quite a bit. And I remember one day I was sitting in a staff meeting. Avery was there and the whole staff was there. And I had gotten a really horrible letter from somebody the night before. And I was about to tell them about this letter. And I remember thinking, why am I going to tell them this? Like, what's my motivation? Because obviously they all love me. So it's not like I'm trying to convince them to love me. If I tell them this, they're going to pounce on this person. They're going to, you know what I mean? They're going to be all defensive for me. So is that what I'm going for? Is I just want to have that moment of, feeling exonerated or whatever. And it's a human emotion. Sometimes when somebody, there's been several times lately, somebody has said something to me, I just need to talk about it at least once. Like, let me tell you what this person said, and now I don't want to talk about it again. But they kind of got inside my head and messed with my head. That wasn't the word that I used at the time. Have you ever just had somebody get in there that like they just took a wrench and mess with your head, and they're like, la la la, I'm all happy now because I've completely freaked you out, and you know you're like, wait, why did you just do that to me? Why did you make me feel insecure in my relationships? Why? I don't understand that. Now I'm going to completely say the opposite of what I just said, nearly. But I remember years ago, this is so far back, nobody would even know. You can't even connect the dots to what I'm talking about. But I remember somebody used to come to the church that was like an intercessor, a prayer warrior. And she would come to me after church and she'd say, I don't want to make you upset, but I just want to tell you, people are talking. About what? Well, I can't say. But I'm just saying, people are talking. About what? Well, we're just praying. What are you talking about? I can't tell you the nights I would lay awake, like, what the heck is she talking about? Oh, I can't tell. It was holding me in confidence. Well, then don't freaking come here and put that thing on me, because now you just mess with my head. And when I would finally get to the bottom of it, it wouldn't be anything. It would be like, it was her drama. And I finally learned that. I thought, wait, you're putting a weird mojo on me, and I don't understand why you're doing it. I would rather you just be direct and say, this is what people are saying. Okay, fine, now I can address it, but don't make me read more into a situation. Well, people are talking, but we're praying. Oh, dude. I just hate that. Oh. Or there's a place I used to go minister a good bit. And right before I would go out and minister, somebody would say to me, "Now listen, these people have a lot of discernment, so don't go there and be like fall full of yourself. You know, they'll see right through it." I'm like, why do you want to do this just as I'm walking out on the stage? Because now you just messed me up. Now I'm feeling like, what are you talking about? I don't understand why people want to make other people feel insecure in situations. And they're projecting their insecurities on you. Did your mama ever tell you misery loves company? She was right. And at a certain point, you get wise to it and realize, wait a minute, you're just doing this thing to me. And I don't want to talk about that story. I want to go back to the other story, which is I started to tell them, like, I just wanted to vent. Can you believe this? And I still don't mind telling about something if it makes a point. If it makes a point, then I will keep it in my repertoire. But if I'm just going to vent about something, and then all it's going to do is we're all going to feel really horrible for a few minutes, and we're going to bond around our dislike for this person, and it's not going to make the situation. And I remember just not telling them. And I thought, wow, I just graduated. Like, that was a real test for me to pass. Now, this is what I noticed. Once I stopped talking about those kind of letters, they basically stopped. Let me tell you, however you interpret the scripture, it is the truth. Give no place to the devil. Now, if that to you means a guy with horns and pitchforks, fine. For me, it means give no place to anybody bedeviling you with their stuff. I love the imagery of this, that she says we're cocooning ourselves with our words. Now, this may sound really simple. I will not go into detail with it, but let me just say this. It would have been easy for me today to have called in and said, I'm not going to show up today. Not for emotional reasons, just physical stuff I was going through last night. And I literally had to power through it this morning. I hope this isn't too much information. But I probably will go back and lay down today and I'll be fine. But there was a lot of this morning of, I feel good, I feel strong, I'm going to get in the shower and it's going to make me feel better. And I literally talked to myself through it because I thought, no, it's unfair. I could have called Will. But I thought that's unfair to spring that on them at the last moment. Not that they couldn't have risen to the occasion, but you can do this. And I literally talked myself through it. And I feel better now that I'm here. And I will continue to feel, I will get some rest today. I will feel better. I can kind of trace where I let some stuff get to me this week that probably did, you know, affect my physical, and it's fine. If I know where it comes in, then I know how to deal with it. And to me, everything's a learning thing. You know, everything that happens, like, why is this happening to me? Why am I feeling this? Why did I let myself feel this way? And I want to learn how not to let it happen again. And it's amazing. I'm not saying that just me saying I feel good, that I was ready to go out and run the PC road race this morning, because I wasn't. But I'm very different than I was a few hours ago. And it really came down to, all right, life and health, the tongue of the health is going to promote healing. And it's something as simple as, okay, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better. Yeah, I'm feeling better. Yeah, okay. I'm feeling better. I feel better. Okay. Yeah. And I'm not saying there are some legitimate times to call in sick, but today wouldn't have been one of those. So I thought I can talk myself through this. And what I'm teaching on this month, it becomes an experiment for me. Like, all right, you know how to do this. I feel better. I feel stronger. And it comes down to just living life minute by minute. It really comes down to, well, today's going to be a good day. That's why I told her, I need you to sing that song because that song makes me feel better. That song's like a vitamin B12 shot for me. I love it. It says it's a good day for curing your ills, good day for paying your bills. Isn't that a great feeling when you pay your bills? I do. I'm serious. I actually, a lot of times I'll walk myself through it. I'm like, all right, I've paid my mortgage payment. I've paid my HOAs. I'm not in any debt. I'm going to get in my paid for car. I have a tank full of gas. I mean, I actually will rehearse those things in my head. They make me feel better. I don't owe anybody. I'm not dreading anybody's phone call. All of that is connected. It's like I love where I live. I love, you know, and I've got lots of things I could point out right now that are challenging, if not negative. I mean, Ken got a very, he got some serious news about his dad this week, which we're processing. And we're like, all right, your vacation days just kicked in. He said, I want to go somewhere next Friday. He said, because I don't know what this year is going to hold. I might not be able to go out of town at all. I said, all right, we're going somewhere. I don't know where we're going to go. I'll be back for church. We're going somewhere. And I will say all those things. I'm looking forward to this. I'm doing this. I'm looking for, you know, I'm, you know, people love me. People appreciate me. Even just this week, I was looking at, I never really even look at the giving records, but I was looking at who had, you know, gotten your letters this week. And I was like, wow, people really, that's beautiful. Like, wow, thank you. Thank you for believing in what I do. It's not about the amount. It's about thank you for, you know, because I never look at that side of it. I'm just like, la, 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 all the bills are paid, la, la, la. But it's like nice to say, wow, people really, they believe in what you're doing. That's awesome. And I said those things to get my butt out of bed this morning. You know what? I mean, I said that like, hey, guess what? Those people love you. Those people who support you and are driving to a neighborhood they don't live in to hear what you got to say, you got to feel better. David encouraged himself with the Lord. David made himself healthier by the way he talked to us. And I like that. Do you know what I honestly believe? I think when you learn to do that incrementally, I'm not talking about not taking care of yourself, but when you keep doing that to yourself, I think over the long run, it makes you genuinely, generally healthier. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's nearly like you practice being healthy. Because the more you give into sickness, the more you just give into it, it nearly becomes a pattern in your life. And I think that's why I even want to talk about this month. Because I'm surrounded by serious things that people are going through. I won't go into detail, but you've seen that I've posted about seeing Joe, Leslie and Joe, that they're not here on Sundays, but they support here and they consider me their pastor. And it's serious. I mean, it's so serious with him that I took off my post because I said, thank you for praying because it's working, because I didn't want people to think, oh, we prayed and he's okay, because in the natural, he's not. I will walk with them through this, hoping against hope, believing for the best. But in the meantime, I'm still going to push back and I'm still going to say, let's all walk in health. Let's all take care of ourselves. Let's all hold ourselves to the highest standard. You're constantly training your brain by the words of your mouth, not just the thoughts you think, but the way that you think. The big picture for me is I'm grateful that I had a reason to get up this morning. I mean, I could say gratitude healed my body this morning. Because what would really be sad is if I was just laying in bed feeling bad and going, well, nobody's going to know. I think y'all would have noticed if I didn't show up this morning. And that means something to me. You know what I mean? Like, wow, I've made some contribution in some people's lives who care about me. I'm pretty sure if I didn't show up, I would get a text from a couple of y'all. Are you okay? That's really meaningful. I wouldn't just be off in a ditch somewhere and people, well, who was that guy? He used to, you know, he used to show up and tell us about movies and stuff. What was his name? Let me show you this quote. I like this quote. It's kind of lengthy, but I like it. Regardless of the language we speak, words connect us on a far deeper level than just getting our point across. Each word carries its own energetic vibration and can have a profound impact on the quality of our lives. The gift of language allows us to become active creators from the moment we utter our first word. When a child transitions from vocalizing sounds to speaking words, it is a celebrated event. More than just a developmental milestone, it marks the day when a child enters the realm of conscious creation. Isn't that good? Conscious choice replaces natural instincts, and the child begins the journey of creating his or her destiny. Many of us are familiar with the law of attraction, which states like attracts like. In other words, what we think about, we bring about, positive or negative. Although this law works when correctly and consistently applied, it can be tricky business keeping our focus on what we desire 100% of the time. We're only human. Doubt often sets in, and we begin to fall back into negative thought and speech patterns, undermining our attempts to make positive changes. The important word here is patterns. That's why I was just talking to you about why I talked myself through it this morning and said, you will feel better, you will make it here, and I did. As creatures of habit, examining and changing our negative patterns is the key to unlocking our full manifestation power. Thinking about what we want is only half the equation. Changing our autopilot language program is the missing variable. And that's what I'm talking about right now, is training your mind toward optimism, training your mind toward saying, I will take care of the people around me. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 my right hand. It will not come nigh me. I mean, let me tell you, you got to get a hold of that when you're taking care of sick family members and saying, all right, I'm going to be here for you, but I'm still holding on to it. This is not going to happen to me. And I'm going to be sensitive to you. I will be there for you. I will walk with you through it, but this is not going to be my reality. And sometimes we don't know how to compartmentalize that. Because when you're around so much suffering, you start thinking, my God, the whole world's dying. And that's not necessarily true. I love that she talks about autopilot there. We think, speak, and write using words, yet these seemingly neutral forms are actually the building blocks of our lives. Death and life and the power of the tongue. Language is undeniably a gift, and as the only species to have this tool available to us, we have a responsibility to use it consciously. Words afford us the ability to have a proactive role in the creation and progression of our lives. Imagine a world where language suddenly became obsolete. Talk about being at a loss for words. I love everything about that quote. And it was interesting because even I was having a conversation with my parents a few days ago. And because of a diagnosis my dad just got, he's really working to make sure he's got all of his ducks in a row and everything, which I appreciate that. And my mom said to me, she says, you've got all this figured out for you, right? Like your retirement and all that kind of stuff. I said, yeah, I'm good. But she said, but you'll always have money, won't you? I said, what do you mean? She said, I don't know. You just will always, you'll always be okay. And I said, yeah, I will. Thank God. Because there's so much about finances and stuff. If you knew how right-brained I am, it would scare you. I learned early on I had to depend on the Holy Ghost. Because when they said 2 + 2 = 4, I was like, wait, what? Could y'all go back and explain that to me again? It's because your words, your thoughts, your mindset always moves toward, I will live a long life. Even just having that conversation the other night, I thought, yeah, 120 years, let's go for that. Charles wrote me the other night, and he said, why do we even have to die at all? I said, well, there's, you know, there's, you're not the first person to ask that. And some scientists don't understand it because our cells are being renewed constantly. So death, in a way, is a mystery because we technically shouldn't be dying. So this is what I will say. I'm not saying I don't believe it'll never happen again, but I think the more we explore the possibility of that, I think we keep pushing the marker back, and people keep living longer and longer and longer. I mean, I just saw Ethel posted pictures of her 96-year-old mother that she's with. That, you know, she moved up there a few years ago to kind of tell her goodbye, and her mother rallied. She's not going anywhere. She's back down here. I think she's still driving. Ernie's from a long line of long livers. His mom, his sister. I mean, they're all like in their 90s and still viable or whatever. So I'm thinking, well, I'm not saying they're never going to transition, but it seems to me like we're exploring the possibility of getting closer and closer to the 120 mark. So I'd rather aim high. I'd rather say I'm making it to 120. And if I, you know, if I only make it to 95, then at least maybe I got to 95 because I said 120. You know what I mean? If I had aimed too low. So I'm saying, like, let's explore the possibility, and let's constantly say, the universe is full of abundance. Money will always come to me. I will always, even if one thing I have learned, I know this, and this, you know, when you get past a certain age, you do start, every morning that you wake up, there's a little bit of a surprise. Do you know what I mean? There's like, what the heck is that? You know, there's like, am I the only one? I mean, you know, it's like, when did that start hurting? Like, what's that? Lots of surprise. It keeps life interesting. Like, why is that? That wasn't hurting last night. Why is this hurting? But what I have learned, this may sound really simple, but when something new, you know, I just like, well, this too shall pass. I mean, this too shall pass. It may hurt for a couple of days, but that's happened to me a lot. Like, I went through a period where my ankle, like, every morning when I get up, I was like, my God, why does my ankle hurt so bad? And then one day I realized it's not hurting anymore. When did that stop hurting? I don't even remember when it stopped hurting. Because I was just like, well, it's not the end of the world. This too shall pass. My words are lending toward health. So, and you know, it makes me want to go back to some of those simple things that we used to say years ago. When you're in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror, you start talking to yourself. My youth is renewed like the eagles. I look good. Don't you look in the mirror and start cursing yourself. You start like, yeah, all right, we got something to work with here. All right, we might get to rearrange a couple of things, but it's going to work. You know what I mean? Like, after you clean up a little bit, you're like, all right, I still got it. I'm clean up okay. And really just talk yourself into, all right, well, if I look good, then I'm going to probably feel better. You know what that's, I know that's, yes, I'm telling you. Cologne sometimes, you think, I'm not joking. Sometimes cologne is like medicinal for me. I'm like, just smelling better makes me feel better. And you know that when you felt kind of yucky for a few days, you're like, oh Lord, I gotta look better. Yeah, I gotta get clean up because I'm getting into I'm getting pulled into a sickness mindset, and I need to push. And that's kind of what I'm doing this month is I will be compassionate for everybody I gotta see to, but I'm still gonna say, we're going from glory to glory. I love those scriptures that say things like your youth is renewed like the eagles. I love the vibration of those words. I love the idea of, like, in some ways, I feel better than I did when I was 20 or 25. Not every day, but in some ways, I'm certainly more comfortable in my skin. And you know, so for me, aging, you know, it's like, it's cool, you know, and you were constantly reinventing it, you know, like I've got a milestone one coming up next year. So I'm like, all right, I gotta, I got to rethink what this number means. And it's got to become the new something else. Because whatever that one that ends with a zero was for you, that ain't going to be what it is for me. I really believe that. I really believe, like, oh, I've got to reinvent what it means to turn that age. And then let me show you this one more. I love this scripture, and I've used it a lot, but I don't think I've used it for the message before. This is in Joel where he's talking about calling the Israeli army to war. And he says, go and find all the farming instruments and turn them into weapons. But he says in verse 10, let the weak say I am strong. And I love the way it says it here in the message. It says, let the weak one throw out his chest and say, I'm tough, I'm a fighter. That, for me today, has a very strong vibration on it. And I actually said those words this morning. Like, I literally threw out my chest and said, I'm tough, I'm a fighter, and I'm going to go do my thing. And I've just delivered a masterpiece of a sermon in spite of. So there you have it. Let's all stand. You get it? You understand why we're saying these words? All right, please remain standing. If we'll hit this, and then I'll speak a blessing over you. Did we ever? We never got on YouTube. All right.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give anytime by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit visionthenow.com and click the support tab, then my online donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
If you're making a check, make it to JESM, and Danny will be back there to receive it. Thank you so much. If you have cash, just pay it forward. I know there's lots of people with needs around here, so be sensitive to that as well. I don't specifically mention them because once I do, then I have to do it for everybody. But you know, be led by the Spirit. If you wanna give to someone, you can do that today. You're strong. You're smart. You're healthy, you're well, you're whole, you're intelligent, you're beautiful, you're attractive. I love you, I forgive you, I bless you, I bless your dreams, I bless your thoughts, I bless your words. Your words don't work against you, your words work for you. As David said, they're sweet as the honey in the honeycomb. Life is in the power of your tongue. You speak words of life. You live a good, long, healthy life. You're prosperous. You're blessed. You're successful. You have good ideas. You're loved. You're surrounded by favor. Your home is blessed. There's peace in your home. There's peace in your relationships. There's peace in your life. There's peace in your mind. You sleep well tonight. You get good quality sleep that reverses the aging process for you, and you wake up renewed and refreshed tomorrow. You run and are not weary. You walk and are not faint. Jehovah Rapha takes sickness away from the midst of you. You're blessed when you come in. You're blessed when you go out. You're blessed in the city, in the country, in the basket, in the store. Blessed is the fruit of your body. The Lord makes you the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You're protected when you drive on the expressways. The angel of the Lord encamps around about you to keep you in all of your ways. No plague comes anywhere near your dwelling. You're anointed. You're holy. You're forgiven. You're righteous. You're free. You're emancipated. You're strong, you're robust, you're vital. Your best days are ahead of you. just saturating you with these words, and they surround you. As this quote earlier today talked about the cocoon of words, I clothe you in these words today. You leave here aware of your blessings. You're going to have a beautiful week. Stop worrying about everything and just relax. Relax in your reality. And you wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I love you so much. Peace.